Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. So grateful that, you know, to be here today. I'm very excited about this. When I first became a Christian over 20 years ago, I saw something like this, very similar. And it really was, for the rest of my life, was a visual of my relationship to God. It was so special. And so I'm very excited. You know, I don't know if they've noticed, but Gaynell and Pat, I've been driving them around, and we've been doing stuff together. And the whole time, I mean, they can't see my heart, but I'm just so, so grateful that they made a journey all the way from Phoenix, from Sierra Vista. Sorry. I'm sorry to offend you. We're starting on that. But from Sierra Vista to here just to do this for you and for us. Of course, for the Lord, but for us. I mean, they traveled on 4 planes to get here. You know, it's a long way and a different time zone. And I'm really, really so, so thankful for them being here. And, you know, the Bible in Jeremiah 18 said, God told Jeremiah, said, hey, go to the potter's house and I will speak to you there. And there's certain lessons that we can learn about our relationship to God by going to a potter's house. And look at this. God brought a potter's house to us. You see, Pat was a potter before he became a Christian. They used to have a pottering company, and they would sell. They would live off this, him and Gaynell. And then they became Christians, and now he's pastoring a church in Arizona. But every once in a while, he's done these presentations all over the world, in Cuba and in different parts of the United States, in Germany, and here he is with us today. So I am so excited. I think it's going to be such a blessing. And I just want to pray, and then he's just going to come up and do his thing. Father, we are so grateful to you, Lord. We're so grateful that we serve you, the living God. We know you, the living God. We don't make ourselves. You make us. And that your Spirit, Lord, is active in our life, whether we believe or whether we don't believe. That you are with us to woo us to you. That when we believe, Lord, you come to live in us. And that you have this wonderful way of coming upon us to serve you and to empower us to do things that we never thought we could do. And be things we never thought we could be. And I pray, Lord, that today you would just have your way and teach us a lesson that we will never be able to forget. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, good morning. It's so great to be here, and thanks for letting me come and serve you guys. But before we start, I have to do a photo because I have to prove to my church that I was doing something, and so they'll know that I did it. So I have to do a photo of you guys. So let's start over here. You guys wave at Sierra Vista. All right. You guys over here, wave at Sierra Vista. Okay. Now I'll put that on Instagram, and they'll believe me. Oh, you'll make sure I'm here? All right. Yeah. Okay. So, hey, it is a privilege to be here. And, Raph, thank you for letting me come, you know. And it's a blessing. And this morning, though, before we begin, I want to read to you out of Jeremiah the passage that Raph referred to. And listen what it says. He says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, or the word came which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Now, here's the interesting thing. The art of making pottery hasn't changed over all of these millenniums. It's basically the same as when Jeremiah. When Jeremiah went and watched that potter, would be pretty much the same as you guys watching me. The only difference is I'm going to use the wheel I'm going to use is powered by electricity. In Jeremiah's day, they would have had a huge stone wheel, and a guy would have turned it for the potter as he worked. And I tried to get Raph to do that, and he got an electric wheel. He didn't want to do that. So other than that, though, here's why it works so well, because over all of these millenniums, it's the same. You can learn the same lessons. And I believe that's why in Scripture the potter's referred to so much. But in Jeremiah, I want you to pay attention to what he says. He says, arise and go down to the potter's house. So he's telling him, I want you to go watch something. I want you to go observe something, but listen what he says. And there I will cause you to hear my word. He's saying, Jeremiah, I want you to go watch with your eyes, but I want you to hear with your heart what I have for you. I want to speak to your heart. And our prayer today is that God would speak to your heart, that as you watch the potter, the Lord would speak directly to you, something for you. So what we're going to do here in the beginning is I always like to say, I'm going to attempt to make a pot just in case it doesn't work. I'm going to work on a clay. And I want you guys all, you guys are all going to be Jeremiah, and I'm going to be the potter. And I want you to watch and see. But here's the thing. Listen to what the Lord has for you as an individual. He wants to speak to your heart just as he wanted to speak to Jeremiah's heart. So listen, as I've done this presentation around the world, some people tell me, this is the most important part because this is you and the Lord interacting. This is him speaking to you. So again, I've asked Alex to sing a song to kind of let us get in that place and just watch and see what the Lord has to say to you.
I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hand. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He knows my name. time began, my life was in His hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
All right, we got one made. That's always good, getting that first one done. Thank you, Alex. Hey, as you watch that, hopefully one thing you noticed is I used a lot of water. You see, without water, I can't make a pot. And in the Word, it tells us that God's Word is a water for our souls. His Word is a water that washes and cleanses us. And just like a potter cannot make a pot without water, God cannot mature us and grow us without His Word. His Word is essential for you and I to grow in our faith and understand who He is. And so He uses that in our lives. Now, I brought several different pieces of clay today, and I got these two here, and from your perspective, they look pretty much the same, right? One might be a little bigger than the other, but they look pretty much the same. There's a huge difference, though. This one, soft and pliable. This piece, hard as a rock. It's been out in the air for a while, and it's just gotten hard. Now, if I put this on the wheel, I can't do anything with it. It's just going to beat me, and I can't work with it. And you might say, well, then it is hopeless. No, this is why I'd love to do this presentation. All I have to do is take this ball of clay, dump it in a bucket of water for a few hours, and let it soak in that water, and it will become soft and pliable, and I can then make something useful out of it. And you know what? Some of our hearts here today are like this piece of clay. They're hard. Some of our hearts are hard to what God wants to do in our lives, and we're resisting, and He's guiding us, and we're not wanting to do what He's showing us. Some of us are just hard to the Lord, period. We don't want to listen to Him, and this is your heart. Now, my prayer is we can soak your heart in water and get it soft today, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this piece of clay right here, and you can watch him throughout the presentation. You know what's going to happen to him? Nothing. What a drag. I mean, when you think about it, what a drag, because, hey, we're kind of inundated with this whole idea if we reject God and accept the things of the world, we're kind of hip, and we're in that place, and we're cool, and et cetera. I believe the most uncool thing up here besides me is that lump of clay, because nothing's going to happen to it. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to get to the end of my life and be a blob of clay. I want God to do something in my life, and I want Him to change me. So now what we're going to do is, I always like to ask this, and I was kind of shocked yesterday, and as I was doing a marriage thing, how many of you have tried doing ceramics? Raise your hands. Wow, a whole bunch. I'm amazed. Usually I go around and hardly anybody has tried. Most people give up on centering. Those of you who raised your hand and you worked on the wheel, how many quit after trying to center several different times? You go, forget it, I'm not doing that. Because that's the hard part. Listen, in order to make a pot, you've got to get the clay centered on the wheel. You've got to get it turning centrifugally with the wheel. So what you do is you put force on above and on the side of it, so you can get it turning centrifugally. And this is a hard part to learn. Now, after you've done it for a while, you can make it look easy. But it's difficult. Those of you who raised your hand, if you didn't go on. Hey, I had friends that they got so far and then they're going, that's it, man. I'm never touching clay again because it gets difficult. So, hey, and I remember as I was working, I learned how to do clay in high school. And that's about 5 years ago. And as I was working with it, I remember I got about this far. And I remember I asked my teacher, because art teachers are great. And I go, hey, how is that? Is that centered enough? And he goes, oh, Pat. He goes, you're close. you're so close, because they encourage you, and you're so close, just work a little bit harder. And so I remember I worked, and you know, you're kind of doing it, and your arms are going, and you think, man, and then you look at the clock, and you go, class is almost over, and I don't have a pot made. So you go, this is close enough. And you think, hey, what do teachers know anyway, right? I'm in charge here, and I can make it, and I don't need to get it centered. So you try and make a pot. Now, I liken this part to those of us who want just enough of God so we don't go to hell, but you don't want enough of him in your life to change your life and interfere with your life. And I put it this way. You're not centered on Christ. And if you're not centered on Christ, let's look at your life and see what happens, because, hey, life happens whether you're centered on him or not. So we begin here, and we're going to work on him a little bit. And as you can see, oh, the wheel almost fell over, but as you can see, this is going, and hey, this is pretty wobbly, right? And I know some people say, dude, that's better than I ever got. Hey, I get that. But listen, man, it's like this, and it's not doing well. And then the pressure in your life comes, and as pressures come, you're growing. But here's the thing, man, you're getting more and more wobbly, and you're all off-centered, and you're wobbly, and you're not doing well. And the devil comes along, and here's what he says. You're okay. You're better than that guy down there. And here's what we do. Yeah, I think I'm okay. And Jesus says this. I love you too much to leave you like that. And so in your life, along comes more pressure. And as you grow and you're trying to do life and things begin to happen, and then in that pressure, all of a sudden, man, your life is like this, and it's ripped and it's torn, and you're going, Raph, look at my life. What happened? And he says, you weren't centered on Jesus. And we go, how did you know? Are you a prophet? And he says, no, you're going around here like this. And hey, we kind of laugh, but you know, here's the truth. Everybody sees it but you. And so I love doing this because of this. Watch, it's not hopeless for this. Once again, I don't just have to throw this away. All I have to do is put this clay, mush it down, and work on it, and get it in a place, and center it. And then I can make something usable. We don't have time for that this morning, so we're going to take him off of here. And we're going to put him up here, and you can watch him along with his other friend. And we'll put him right here, and you can keep an eye on him and see what happens. I'm not an artist. I'm a craftsman. So, hey, now this next one, I don't know about you guys, but I love to listen to people's testimonies and how people come to the Lord and just all the variety of ways that the Lord works in our lives. For some of us, we're raised in Christian homes, and you know, our testimony is, hey, there was never a day I didn't hear about God or know about God, and then you made it personal and you gave your life to Jesus. And some of us are real thinkers, and people share with us, and they talk to us, and we hear it, and then we got to think about what they say, and it's a process as we come to the Lord. And then some of us, we're just those radical conversions where, you know, we go from dark to light, and we accept the Lord. And that's kind of my testimony is, you know, it's interesting, I got saved in my bed. I didn't get saved in a church. I didn't, you know, do the thing that some people say you have to do. I got saved in my bed and called on the name of the Lord one night and asked him to come into my life. And I can remember how afraid I was and how scared I was. Because for me, it was a real thing, and I wasn't going to turn back. And as I called on the name of the Lord and had him come in my life, the next morning I got up, and I picked up the Bible, and it was alive. It was real. And I began to understand, and I thought, what changed? I tried to read the Bible before, and it wasn't like that. And I thought, man, this thing changed. And the Lord said, no, your heart changed. You changed. And I had a passion for God's word. And, you know, that's some of our testimonies. You just have that passion. But some of us, that passion begins to fade. And, you know, in the beginning, man, we couldn't put our Bibles down. And we wanted to go to Bible studies. We wanted to go to the Friday morning devotion. We could hardly wait to get there. And then something happens. And pretty soon, if we're honest, we're not really reading our Bibles. Maybe the only time we open our Bibles when we come to church. And you know, I found, man, if you're waiting to go all the way through the Bible with your pastor in church, it's going to be years. I know in our fellowship, you know, I've been teaching over 2 decades, and I haven't taught every book in the Bible, so if people are waiting for me to read the Bible to them, it's going to be a while. I'm a firm believer that you and I, as believers, should be reading all the way through the Scriptures every year. There's tons of Bible reading programs. You know, we live in a generation where, hey, you know, you can get apps, you can even get someone to read the Bible to you. And hey, we have a lot available. And I think we should be going from Genesis to Revelation every single year for this reason. We should know the whole counsel of God. We're saying we're Christians, and I believe, listen, I believe reading the Bible is like a human breathing. Like, you know, hey, we don't think a lot about breathing, do we? But we have to breathe to stay alive. And the same with the Word. We need to be people who are in our Word and reading our Word. But then, as I said, something happens and some of us put the Word away. And if we're honest, man, we're not picking it up. We're not reading it. Well, I'm going to demonstrate what happens to that person. I'm going to try and make a pot without water. So this is your life without the Word, and you're trying to do life again without the Word, without water. So this is where I need your help. So some of you maybe have fallen asleep. Wake up right now, because I need your help. This is where I need everybody to join in, okay? So pay attention. And out of habit, I'm going to probably reach for the water, and you guys have to say no, okay? It's pretty easy, isn't it? Like 3 of you are cooperating. Everybody wake up. Come on. Get with me. And let's pay attention here. If I reach for the water, you're going to yell no, right? Because I don't need water, so you're going to do that, right? At least someone say yes. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's do this.
No.
That was slow. That was slow. Look, I would have been wet. Pay attention right now. This is the only time you have to pay attention. After this, you can go back to sleep. But pay attention right now and help me out, okay? So let's work on, oh, good job. All right, let's work on this. Thank you. So let's watch because, hey, life happens and along comes that life and here we are and we're growing and it doesn't look too bad. It's kind of, now for the potter, you're getting kind of sticky and scratchy and sort of messed up. But again, some of you who have tried to make clay or make pottery, you're going, hey, I never got a pot looking that good. And hey, we're going up there and the devil, he's always there, man. The devil's going, you don't need to read your Bible. Those pastors, they're just trying to sell Bibles. You don't need to read your Bible. Look, you're better than those two guys. And we go, yeah, I am. And Jesus says, hey, I love you. I love you, and I'm not going to leave you like that. And life happens, and some more pressure comes our way. And again, we start growing and stretching, and things begin to happen. And we're going, and we're kind of thinking we're okay. And then pretty soon we hit that place, and look at my life. It's a wreck. Ralph, help me. And he goes, you weren't in your Word. You say, how did you know? And he says, because you're all itchy and scratchy on the outside. Some of you will get that on the way home. You'll understand what I'm talking about. But hey, that happens. Now, is it hopeless for this guy? No. All I have to do is wad him up again, mush him down, and center him and put some water on it, and we can have a pot and make a nice pot. So now what I'm going to do is take this guy off, and I'm going to put him here with his other friends, and we got all these guys down here, and you can watch them. Now, some of you, listen, this is why I make the pot in the beginning, because if I didn't make that pot in the beginning, most of you would be going, all you can make is a mess because you haven't gotten anything done yet. But here's what I know. You're starting to see yourself. And you're seeing yourself up here, and God is speaking to your heart through this visual thing, through watching the potter. You know, hey, this is maybe where I'm at. Maybe you're a little bit dry. Maybe you're a little bit off-center. Maybe you're a little bit hard. But this is going on in your life, and now you have some answers, and you have a visual to go back to. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go through the process of making a pot, and we're going to talk about that and relate that to the Christian life. Now, here's an interesting thing. Before I ever get to this stage, before I even get a chunk of clay like this, I have to work on the clay quite a bit. I have to do a thing called wedging. And it's just basically you get the clay prepared to throw. And I don't do that in front of everybody because it's like gross. It's not great to watch. It's boring. But sort of like, I don't know, in Spain, do they knead dough? Yeah? So it's kind of like that. And in America, they quit. They have bread machines. But listen, it's just like working it. What you're doing is you're taking the clay and you're getting it on a hard surface and you're just kind of pushing it out and rolling it back. And you want to get all the air bubbles out. And you want to get it uniform. You want to get all of the moisture evenly distributed through the clay. So you work it for a while, and you do that for a long time. And by the time you get here and put the clay on the wheel, the clay is probably like, are we done yet? And the potter goes, we haven't even started. Sometimes in our life with Jesus, we feel so beat up. We feel so tired. And we're kind of, Lord, are we done? And the Lord would say, I haven't even started yet. Now listen, here's what he's going to say. Trust me. Trust me and let me work in your life. And you will see what I can do. But you just have to trust me. You see, this clay is going to trust me. And the clay is going to trust me to do what's right and good for it. So then after that, I do the thing called centering. And we're going to center this guy, hopefully. And as we work on it, again, I'm putting pressure on the top and pressure on the sides. And when you're doing that, again, the clay can't be really enjoying this that much because you're putting a lot of pressure on it. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when you work with clay, almost every step involves pressure and working with different pressure. How many of you got up this morning in your quiet time and said, Lord, can I have a little bit more pressure in my life? Could you put a little bit more? We never ask for that, do we? But he knows what we need. And so, hey, this clay, it needs pressure. And I know it, so I'm going to work on it. So now, again, as I'm preparing it and getting it centered, the clay's going, are you done yet? No, I'm not done. I'm still working on you. And then we get it centered. And then the next step is, by the way, I'm not sure all of these are like step one, step two, step three in your Christian life. Some of them we repeat quite often because some of us are a little bit more stubborn than others. But this one here is one where I believe this is a crucial part of our Christian life. Now I gotta stick my fingers straight down into this pot. It's the only way I can make a pot. And if you're the clay, you're sitting here and you're the clay, and this guy sticks his fingers down in you, the clay's going to do this. Ah! That hurts. Because I'm pushing down and opening up and kind of digging a hole in it. I liken this to those times where God touches that place in your heart that you don't share with anybody. He knows. And he touches that spot, and it hurts. It's painful. And we cry out to the Lord. We say, Lord, that hurts. And he says, I know it hurts. But trust me. You see, I can't make a pot if I don't do that. And the Lord is not going to change you and make you into what he desires for you to be unless he does that in your life. You've got to give him those places. You've got to trust him through the pain and understand that what he's doing in your life is for your good and for you to grow and mature and allow him to work in you. So now as the clay's there, as we do this, the next step is maybe one that we don't repeat. This is a step where I have to open up this clay. I got to get opened up so I can begin to work with it. And all I do is pull it back towards me with my same two fingers, and I just pull it in a backwards motion towards me, and it kind of opens up and it does something. And I liken this in our Christian lives to when we finally open up and we do something for the Lord. Listen, there's a whole thing about getting saved, but there's this whole other process in our lives where we begin to serve the Lord and do something for him, and he has to open us up. And it might be something simple. You know, it might be something as simple as, hey, I can sweep up after church. Or I can help out in the parking lot or whatever ministry. And then pretty soon can I help out in the kids' ministry? And you open yourself up so you begin to be used for the Lord. For me, my wife and I, when we got saved, we went to this little bitty church in the town we were in then in Bisbee, Arizona. Any of you here of Bisbee, Arizona? I know we got two people here. Anybody else? It's world famous. I don't know why you haven't heard of it. It's what it says on one of the buildings, world famous. So I'm just repeating what it says. So anyway, hey, we were going to this little bitty church, and I remember, as you know, I'm a new believer, and there was like some doors that were all messed up. And I just decided to help out, and I start fixing the doors and bringing in other doors. And that's what I mean. You open yourself up so God can use you. And you put yourself in that position. And then pretty soon, I remember the pastor came to me, and because I was kind of always hanging out, maybe even in his way. I don't know. He never said that, but maybe I was. But, hey, as I'm doing that, I remember that he came, and he said, "Hey, Pat, why don't you help out? And I think you have the gift of teaching." And I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, I think you have the gift of joking." And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "I couldn't have the gift of teaching. Hey, I tried to teach pottery. I tried to teach when I was in the military. I was in San Antonio, Texas, and there was a little fine arts college there, and it was a small college, and they were all fine arts students, and I was teaching the ceramics class, helping out, and the students weren't into, you know, they were mostly artists, and they weren't into clay, and they're like blowing off the ceramics class, and I taught them, and I was passionate about it. I said, "Here's what you need to do. I'll be back in a week, and you guys should be, you know, at this point." Nothing all week. So I started yelling at him. The guy that I was helping said, "I don't think you should be here." And he goes, "You're not good at this." And then I tried to teach my wife. That didn't work. I tried to teach my daughter. That didn't work. I tried to teach my mother-in-law. That didn't work. I don't have any successful pottery students. Now, the other day, I tried to teach Jonathan, so if he starts making pots, I'll have a successful student. But other than that, but hey, he says, "Hey, Pat, why don't you," he says, "I think you have the gift of teaching. Why don't you try and go ahead and why don't you teach a Bible study after our services?" Because our services were early in the morning. "And why don't you see if people will hang out and you can teach a service afterwards?" And I thought, okay, you know what? I think I can do that. And other people had shared with me that they thought I had the gift of teaching. And this clay's got a bad spot in it, but we'll make it. But anyway, sorry. So I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I wasn't a Christian very long. I'd been saved a while, but not very long. And here's what I know. I know some of you are going, "Well, that's obvious. You can only teach what you know, right?" And so I'm a pretty new Christian, so here's what I thought. I'll teach basic Christianity. Why? Because that's all I knew. And I remember I studied and I prayed and I studied and I prayed and I was going to teach through the book of Acts, basic Christianity. And we had this little kind of fellowship room where we had coffee, and then they put up a little curtain to divide it in two. And on the other side was going to be my Bible study. And so, you know, I told everybody, "Hey, whoever wants to stay for the Bible study, you can stay and we'll go over the class." So I went around that curtain and I looked. And everybody on the other side of the curtain, I think there were like three, four couples. All of them were veteran missionaries of being on the mission field for 20 years. I said, "Hey, we're going to study basic Christianity." And I go, "You know what? Let's just pray and go home." And then, I thought that was best. And they go, "No, you know what? If God gave it to you, you teach us." And I remember I taught them that study, and they all said it was good because they had the gift of mercy. But hey, I made it through that time. And then after that, I did really feel a call to teach. And I went to Calvary Chapel Bible College. And so, hey, as I went, here's the thing. Notice this pot's growing. And as I went, I begin to grow and change. And this is our lives. And all this is pressure. I'm putting pressure on the inside and against my outside hand. And we're growing and changing and moving. And this has got a bad lump in it. We're going to make it, though. Remember, it was marred in the hand of the potter, and he made something better. So as we're working on this, you grow and you change. And that's where I was. And then I came back, and I planted a church. And then I went to another church that I got called to, and I began to teach there. And hey, we were doing good. We were growing, and the church was doing well, and people were getting saved. And I'd been there a couple years, and I enjoyed what I was doing. And you kind of get in that place where, you might call it autopilot or something. I call it complacency. And you get complacent with the Lord. And you get in that place. And I was kind of like this pot right here where, hey, you're not horrible. But how many of you would give me maybe €5 for that pot? Nobody. No, a couple of you. Look around, gift of mercies. Need to pay attention when we do this. So these people have, most of you are going, no, why? Because it's not finished. It's ugly. Listen, to a potter, it's ugly. There's a German word that I've got confirmed yesterday that is pot ugly. That's a word that the Germans use. This is pot ugly, man. Hey, and you guys go, no, I don't think it's that ugly. Yes, it is. To me, it's pot ugly. Why? Because it's not done. It's not finished. I know what it could be. And I know from the potter's perspective, it's not finished. And most of you in this room wouldn't give me any money for this. Then let me ask you this. This is a serious question. Why is this where you want to stop with the Lord? When you go that far and you think, I'm done. And you don't allow him to work in your life. And you're willing to stop right there. That's not good. You see, because he has so much more for you that he wants to do. In my life, I was there. I was telling you, I was there. And I was feeling okay. And the Lord looked at me and he said, your pot, well, he didn't say that. But hey, almost. And then my wife, here's what happened. My wife came to me and she says, hey, honey, I want to do a women's retreat, a women's conference. And I want to do it on the potter and the clay. I want to do it on Jeremiah 18, that passage we read. And I said, honey, that's great, because she worked with me. She didn't work on the wheel, but she worked with clay. And I said, hey, you know about clay, and we'll work through the passage together, and we'll do that. That's great. And she goes, oh, no, 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 no. You're going to be our Friday night guest speaker. And I said, no, I'm not. And she said, yes, you are. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to get your will, and you're going to make a pot, and you're going to talk about it in the Christian life. Now, I hadn't touched clay at that time for probably 12 years. I was involved with the church. I'd put my will away. I hadn't touched clay. And she goes, that's what I want you to do. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I really don't want to do this because it's scary. Number one, I'll let you guys in on something. Pastors, that's pastors. Having our Bibles open and notes, those are kind of our security blanket. That's what we kind of hide behind when we're up front. When you got hands like these, you're not going to open your Bible and you're not going to have notes. And that's what I knew. She's telling me to do this. I want you to fly without your security blanket. I'm going, no, honey, I can't. I said, you know what? I probably can't even make a pot. And she goes, sure you can. I made thousands of pots. I did this for a living for 15 years. Every day I made pottery. She goes, oh, come on. And I go, I don't think I can make a pot anymore. Well, let's get your will out of storage. We had it in storage. Let's get your will and let's get some clay. And of course I made a pot. And she goes, okay, you can be our speaker. I go, I don't want to do it. And I'm, because I'm intimidated when it's just ladies. That's kind of intimidating. No offense, ladies. And she kept pushing me. And my last ditch effort to her was, I can't do this, honey, because I don't know what to wear to a women's retreat. Now, I finally did that ladies' retreat. That was in 1999, I did that ladies' retreat. Since then, the Lord has allowed me to go around the world doing this presentation. I'm in Mallorca. Who would have ever? I'm from Bisbee, that world famous city. And listen, I'm not telling you to boast. I want you to understand something. In Bisbee, there's a tunnel that leaves town. You have to go through a tunnel because it's a time warp thing that you have to go through to get out of town. And as you, hey, going out of that tunnel to go to Tucson was huge in our eyes. We went to Tucson. And if the Lord can take this guy from Bisbee, Arizona, and let him go around the world doing ministry, here's what I'm going to tell you. He's got something for every single one of you. All you have to do is not stay there. Allow him to work in you. Trust him and let him mold and shape you. He's got so much more. Hey, is it scary? Absolutely, it's scary. But trust the potter because he knows what he's doing. So now after that, listen. And oh, by the way, do you guys know what clay is? It's dirt, right? It's common stuff. We walk on it every day. This is like maybe, you know, a euro worth of a clay. Maybe, I don't even know if it's that much. And what's going to take it from this euro worth and make it into a pitcher like this worth 400 or 500 euros? Well, maybe 40. But hey, what's gonna take it and give it value? My hands. You see, my hands are going to change it, and my hands are what's going to give it value. And here's what you need to know. The potter, not me, the potter Jesus, will touch your life and give you value. All you have to do is trust him. Hey, we look to all the wrong places, and we might look to education, and there's nothing wrong with education. We might look to our profession or what we're doing, and there's nothing wrong with advancing in what we're doing. But if that's where you're looking for value, guess what? All of that can disappear in a heartbeat. But Jesus says, store up your treasure in heaven, where moth and rust and thieves do not destroy. And he's the one who gives you eternal value. So, hey, quit looking to those things and look to him to give you value and allow him to work in your life and to change you. So now we're going to work on this guy. Hopefully, this one's being a little bit obstinate, like some of us. Sorry about that. That just popped in. But anyway, so we're going to work on this guy. And, you know, as I get back to the clay might be saying, hey, Pat, what am I going to be? What am I going to be? What am I going to be? And I would tell it, you're going to be quiet while I work on you. That's what you're going to be. But, hey, this pot doesn't know what I'm going to do with it. It doesn't have any idea. But I know. Hey, I knew before I ever put this pot on the wheel what I wanted to do with it, unless it's too stubborn to let me. And as I work on it and shape it, you need to know something. Most of the shaping comes from the inside. And you know what I love about that? When God works on us, how does he work on us? He works on us on the inside, right? He doesn't start on the outside. He starts on the inside. And he works on us from the inside out. And we begin to get some shape. And now we're looking a little better. And you're not being so stubborn. That's nice. And you're getting a little bit of shape. And this pot's going, ooh, I'm kind of looking good, you know, and it's kind of enjoying it. Now I'm going to work on the top in a minute. By the way, if I work on the clay and I go, oops, God doesn't do that. Like, God doesn't work in your life and go, oops, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. You know, that's kind of where it breaks down, because sometimes I'm doing a presentation and I forget to say that and I go, oops, and I look out there and there's a person out there going, I knew it. I'm the oops of God. God does not ever go, oops, sorry, I didn't mean to do that, okay? Just so we know that. And again, it's a little stubborn up here, like some of us, so they cut this guy off. I don't think I've ever had such stubborn clay. This must be, I don't know where this clay came from, Raph. Stubborn clay. Must be Serbia or something. So hey, as I'm working on this, we're going to turn him down, hopefully. Now, he's being really bad. Here, we're going to cut. We'll do this different. You guys are getting a special thing today. So as I work on this, I was going to do something with my little finger, but he's not going to let me. But we can get this pot to here, and then after I trim off and get this straight, we'll bring him up here like this. And this guy's going, wow, I think I'm looking okay. And he's kind of thinking he's done. And then I pick up this stick. And he says to me, what are you going to do with that stick? And I tell him, I'm going to poke it in you, and I'm going to tear you apart right there. And I'm just going to, is it going to hurt? Oh, it's going to hurt really bad. But you see, if I don't do that, it's not going to be a pot. It's not going to be made beautiful. I'm not doing that just to be mean. Hey, if our God was capricious, he'd grab a stick and do this. Bleh, 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 bleh. But our God intentionally works in areas that need working on in our lives. I call this cutting away the flesh, those areas that we hang on to so dearly. And the Lord gets a stick and he goes, you know what? Just let me trim that away. Let me have that. And he comes with his stick, and then you stick it in there. And hey, it might hurt for a minute. And you're screaming and yelling and having a fit, but you got to get that trimmed away so the pot looks okay, so it's right. And then you take it down, And you go, all right. And he goes, oh, that wasn't so bad after all. By the way, my pots don't really talk to me. And my wife tells me, you tell people you know they're not real. I know they're not real. I know these guys are not real, but they're my friends, and I hang out with them. So, hey, and then you get here, and this guy's going like this. He's going, woo, check me out. Look how good I look. And some of us do that, and we go, hey, look at me compared to those guys. Losers. Look how awesome I look. And some of us do that with our spiritual lives, and we kind of poke our chests out. Look how spiritual. I was up at 4 a.m. praying for you, bro, while you were sleeping. And we start doing those, and we think we're all of that, and we start boasting that way. You know what God sees when we do that? Here's what God sees. And you're going, oh, that's horrible. No, it's not horrible. Listen, because he's got to get all of the flesh away, because that boasting is flesh. And then all I'm going to do is take the sharp tool again and stick it in there and get rid of this. Hey, this was all you. This was flesh. And now I'm going to, oh, this is kind of messed up. Just a minute. And now I'm going to work on this, and I'm going to make something that I had in mind the whole time. So again, I'm going to take the clay, get a little bit more pressure with it, and work on it, stretch it out a little bit, tell it to behave here. And guess what? I got a bowl. Not a bad bowl, huh? Some of you are going, but you had a beautiful, beautiful vase, and now you just have a bowl. Well, let me ask you something, man. When you have your cereal, I don't know what kind of cereals you have here, but in the States, we got Cocoa Puffs. Yeah? And when you got your box of cereal and your jug of milk, what do you want, a vase or a bowl? You want a bowl, right? And that's my point. Hey, you know what? A bowl is just as useful as a vase. And you need to let God mold you and make you into what he desires for you, not what you want to be. I believe all of us, if you're saved here this morning, I believe you probably have some heroes in the faith, maybe past heroes in the faith. Hey, I have my Bible heroes that I love, certain characters in the Bible. I have men of faith throughout Christian history that I admire that are my heroes. And I have some present day heroes that I look up to. But here's the problem, man. When we do that, we try to be them. Maybe God doesn't want you to be them. Maybe he wants you to be something else. So maybe you have a hero that's evangelist, and you're going, well, I'm going to be an evangelist, and you really stink at it. Hey, don't try and be an evangelist. Let God cut that off, make you into what he desires to make you, and let him have his way in you. Hey, I made, as I said, we made pottery for 15 years for a living. We made all sorts of things. I made full dinnerware sets. I made bathroom sinks for custom homes. I made all kinds of serving dishes, different things, down to salt and pepper shakers, little salt and pepper shakers. Which piece do you think was the most important to me? It was the piece I was working on at the time. You see, there's not one more important than the other. They're all equally important because I am hand-making them. Saints, every one of you is important to the Lord. Hey, did you notice when I was working on this, I never took my eyes off of it? When my hands are on the clay, where are my eyes? On the clay. When God is working on you, where do you think his attention is? It's devoted to you, and he's working in you. Now, hey, I did bring an extra pot in case I couldn't get one made. I could say, hey, look, I can really make a pot. So I made these earlier to prove that I could do that. And as you look at this, you might say, how do we know we didn't get this and you didn't buy this down in Palma? At one of the markets. You know how? I signed my pots. I signed my pots a special way, and I put that signature on there, not so that I know they're my pots. I know my pots. I've made it. I've been intimate with this. I can walk into any place and see some of my pots. There's people in our church that bought some of my pottery before I was pastoring, and I've gone to their house, and I'll tell them, I made that. And there was one lady, you guys know her, Becky. One lady, Becky, I said, hey, Becky, I made this. And this lady's like super hyper. And she goes, you did not. That's how she talks. And I go, yeah, I made that pot. You did not. And I go get the pot. And here's what it says on the bottom. And she got the pot and looked at it. She said, you made my pot. And I go, that's what I tried to tell you. See, I know my pottery. And the same with us. Listen, God doesn't have to grab us by our ankles. Whoa, are you mine? Is that my signature? He knows us, doesn't he? Because he's been intimate with us. And because he cares about us and because he loves us. Now, I wish we could keep going. I wish we could go through the firing process, all of the things. Hey, this is only one step. There's 21 steps, technically, to making a pot. And this is only one. The firing process is the final thing that you do with your pot. And you take it in. And that town I talked about, Bisbee's a mile high. It's high elevation. It gets cool there. And I would put my pots in. And my kiln was huge. And I would put the pots in there. And I'd brick up the outside. And I fired it with natural gas. And I would light the burners in the morning. And the burners are doing this in the morning. And the pots are going, oh, thank you, man. It feels so good. It was so cold. And you turn it up a little bit, and it's going, oh, that feels great. Thank you. And you turn it up a little bit more. It starts getting real hot, and the pots are going, dude, it's getting like Phoenix in here. Like, what are you doing to us? And then you get it hotter and hotter. And then pretty soon, your pots are red hot. And then pretty soon, they're white hot, and they're translucent. I would fire to 1,300 degrees. So we figure 1,300 degrees Celsius. That's way hot. And you'd get it in there, and the potter would look, and it's so great, like all of you guys are my pots, and you have a brick, and you take it out, and you look at your pots, and you go, you guys are beautiful. And you'd see that glaze just start to glisten and start to run, and you go, awesome. And the pot would go, I'm dying! And the potter says this, good, because I made you to die to yourself and live for me. That's where we're at. So we can't do that part, so I had to act that part. Now, people ask me all the time, hey, do you sell your stuff? And I can't make pottery to sell anymore because I don't have the time. And then they go, well, you brought that one piece. Could I have that piece? And I go, but this piece isn't finished yet. And they go, really? Well, tell me what to do and I'll finish it. Remember the teaching thing? I don't teach well, so I don't think we're going to figure that out between us. And I'll go, oh, come on, man. I know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that has a friend that knows somebody, and they can kind of help me out. And they go, no, there's something this pot needs that the potter knows. Hey, somebody else doesn't know. You look at it. You don't see, you just say, it doesn't need maybe firing. Here's what this pot needs. And you're going, you just ruined that pot. No, I broke that pot. And I broke it so I could save it. And you're saying, what do you mean so you could save it? You see, this pot had a crack in the bottom. And if I would have fired this pot with a crack in the bottom, it would be ruined. And I know some of you are going, looks kind of ruined now. No, it's not ruined. You see, all I have to do is take water and put living water on this and pour it on this pot and rub it and pour and rub. And pretty soon, what am I going to have? Soft, pliable clay that I can make it without a crack. Remember in the book of Matthew when it says that Judas took the money and he threw it back in the temple and the priests took that money and they bought the potter's field? You guys remember that passage? Hey, the potter's field, you know what the potter's field was? In that day and even today, hey, when you open up your kiln, a certain amount of pots crack and you can't sell them. And in their day, they would look at it, if they're honest, there were some that were dishonest, but the honest ones would look at it and go, cracked, shunk, and chuck it out in a potter's field. And a potter's field was good for nothing. It's just a bunch of pot shards. Now it's good for our generation because we can dig them up and do archaeology, but hey, that's where they threw all of their broken pieces because they're ruined. I broke this pot to save it. And here's what I know. In a room this size, some of your lives are like this right here. And your life is shattered and broken. And you're hurting this morning. Oh, as Christians, I know. The big thing as Christians, we put on our little happy faces and we come to church and say, oh, everything's fine. Someone says, how you doing? I'm wonderful. Inside, you're dying. And you're broken, but you're afraid. This should be the safe place. This should be the place where you can tell somebody, I am shattered, I'm broken, I need you to pray for me, and let them pour some of that living water in that broken part of you and get it pliable where God can begin to work. Hey, some of us, we can't even read our Bibles. We're so broken. We try and read, and we get two verses, and our mind is just going everywhere. Then you know what? You come and tell somebody in the fellowship here and ask them to read the Bible to you. And love on you and pour that water until you're ready. Hey, did you notice something? You notice the bowl? He's already working. He already saved the water so you could pour the water into somebody. Now, here's what I know. You're someplace up here. You might be the dry piece. You might be the off-centered piece. You might be the shattered piece. You might be the bowl. You're someplace up here. And God wants to work in your life. And all you have to do is be honest with him. If you're dry, tell him. He already knows it. Why can't you be honest with him? If you're off-centered, let him know. If you're shattered, let us know so we can pray for you. We don't want to judge you. We want to pray for you. But hey, and if you're the bowl, then you start serving all of these other pieces. Oh, by the way, we still have our friend over here. Remember this guy? You know what happened to him this last hour? He got harder because he's out in the air. And some of you, I hope this isn't true, but some of you may have gotten harder through this presentation because you just blew off everything I said. And you're just kind of listening, but you're not listening with your heart. Right now is the opportunity for you to take this hard heart, dump it in this bucket of water, and soak up the word of God and allow your heart to get soft and pliable. As we get ready to close, I want to leave you with two things. There is always hope in Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. Hopefully from this you learn that no matter what condition, nothing up here is hopeless. There's hope no matter where you're at. And secondly, you can trust the potter. He knows what he's doing. Even when you're scared out of your wits, man, trust him. He knows what he's doing. Let's all stand up, and we're going to close in prayer, and I'm going to give you an invitation to accept the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I do pray for us in here, and Lord, right now I know a lot of stuff is going on in a lot of our hearts and minds, and I pray, God, I pray for my brothers and sisters that know you, that we would be honest with you and we would confess to you right here. We could just open up our hearts and tell you if we're off-centered or if we're dry and not in your word or if we're broken and smashed or Lord, even if we're the bowl, that we would be real with you and honest and open and allow you, the potter, to begin to do that work that only you can do. Give us faith, even if it's the tiniest bit of faith, give us faith to trust you. And I'm going to ask everyone to just stay in an attitude of prayer just for a moment. And as you're in that place of prayer, I want to speak to those who have the hard heart. And if you came in here today with a hard heart, I want to give you the opportunity right now, man, to put that heart into some water and soak it and become soft and pliable. And hey, it's up to you. You're either going to do it or not. But this could be the greatest decision you ever make in your life. I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to come into your life, to ask him to come and change you. So if you want to do that, here's what I'm going to do, man. I'm going to say a prayer here in a moment, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and you can say this prayer with me. You can say it out loud. You can say it silently, and some people say, are you putting words in my mouth? Well, I'm trying to, because I want you to say this, but you got to say it with sincerity. It's got to be your heart crying out. And you can say it again, as I said, you can say it out loud or you can say it silently, but it's got to be sincere. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He paid for your sin, and now his arms are open wide, and he's giving you that opportunity to come and get your sin forgiven and washed away and your life renewed, and you can get that soft, pliable heart. So if you want to do that, say this with me. Maybe you're backslidden. Hey, you know what? Come home. Come back to Jesus. Say this prayer with us. He wants you to come back. Jesus, right now I confess to you that I am a sinner. I'm sorry that I sinned against you, God. And today, I'm asking you to forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for your forgiveness. And now I want you to come into my heart and change me. Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my life and guide me. Today I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. If that's the cry of your heart, you said that prayer. I'm going to ask you to put your hand high up in the air so we can just celebrate with you and pray for you. Anyone in here today, greatest decision you'll ever make. Father, I pray that as we go out today, Lord, that you would bless our day, that you would cause us to meditate on these things and to be real and truthful and honest with you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.